3. We are going to cover a lot of areas this evening. There's 4 things that we're going to cover. Number one is, number one is a blended family. Number two is finance. Number three is raising children. Number four is keeping marriage alone. When I mentioned this to a friend of mine, the pastor, and he chuckled, "You mean you are going to cover all of that in one night?" He said, "Yeah, I told him my eyes are always bigger than my stomach." So let's see what the Lord's going to do with this study. At the Sunday school, Christopher learned that God made Eve from the Adam's side. So he came home that afternoon. He was outside playing real hard, and all of a sudden he stopped running to home inside of the home and grabbing his side like this, and with a pain-stricken face. And he busted into the home inside. So mother, who was kind of startled, she ran across the kitchen and got down on her knee and asked, "You okay, sweetie?" And he said, "Mom, I think I'm having my wife." Marriage is not an easy thing to do. You guys all know that. And if you think marriage is easy, I have a story to tell you. There's many people who are going through a tough time. The reason is because it's a different individual trying to get along together. Someone said very wisely, "Keep your both eyes wide open before you get married, but after you get married, close one." You heard that one before. Here's another good one, written by Leo Tolstoy, Russian writer. "What counts in making happy marriage is not so much how compatible you are, but how you deal with incompatibility," which is a good saying. To get along in the marriage, it takes a lot of love, a lot of respect, a lot of forgiveness, a lot of compromise, and a lot of patience, a lot of understanding, and what? The love again. It takes a lot. During the pastor's conference in March, early part of March this year, I was passing by Pastor Gail Owen. Some of you guys know him. We call him Pastor of the Pastors. He's a wonderful man of God. He was sitting way in the back with his wife leaning against the wall, and she had a little small pillow behind her neck to support her neck. And I asked her, "Is there anything I can do to make her more comfortable?" And she said, they both said, "No, we're fine." And quickly, being a humorous guy that he is, Pastor Gail said, "Well, I'm the pain behind her neck for the last 39 years. So I told him, "Well, at least you're on the neck, I'm on the other side." Marriage becomes more complicated when we have children. When it's just husband and wife, it seems a little easier, but when the children comes along, we have a little different situation. But it becomes more edgier when we have a financial problem. There's a bickering, there's some trouble going on. And it gets a lot more exciting and hair-raising when it becomes blended family. And it gets worse that one of the spouses, the other side, don't want to do anything to make the marriage better. Some of you guys want to know what I'm talking about. How we are going to handle this? So if you're going through that, you're hoping that the rapture happens pretty soon, so you can bail out. And maybe you can just ask God to give a private rapture, or just take me home. However, God allowed us to go through that kind of difficult time to grow us. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we went through the last 3 weeks, and we went through your word regarding marriage. We heard the things that we don't want to hear because it goes against our nature. But you made it very clear to us what husband's supposed to do, what wife's supposed to do. Now, with the children's situation, we must do what we need to do, not according to how we feel, not according to what the psychologist says, but according to what the Word of God says. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1970, single parents' homes were about 12% of our entire population. In 1994, there were 30.8% single parents' family in America. When there is that many single parents' families, that means that translate to the, it become blended family. One single parent married to another single parent with children. So we have a problem with the lot of problem with the blended family, and there's a situation that occurs. See, blended family is a rather difficult situation because it's coming from, in a way, failed marriage. Whether that marriage is failed by somebody else or that the person didn't do the right job. Majority of family, of the blended family, have that kind of idea, so they tend to make a self-protection. What do I mean by self-protection? Because they were hurt before, they don't want to hurt again. So instead of giving the other person, the spouse, everything they have, they tend to hold back from the beginning. So we have a problem from the day one. It gets worse when there's children involved. What kinds of children is involved? From the previous marriage. I'm not saying that it's case in point for every situation. No, that's not what I'm saying. Some blended family works beautifully, and some don't. And when the kids from the previous marriage, other side, causing problem, of course, the one who facing the situation, think about two words, your child. Your child is the one causing problem. So again, the parents of that child become very protective. See, Bible does not specify how to react in this blended family situation. But it gives us a basic principle of marriage, what we can learn from, and which we, as we already studied. Go to Matthew chapter 19, please. By now, your Bible opens up to Matthew automatically, right? No, you thought then you're not studying enough. Matthew 19, verse 6. So then there are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Underline, let not man separate. That is extremely important thing for us to remember. Now, children of a blended family tend to feel rejection toward the newest member of the family who now feeling the role of mom or dad. Then we call them stepmom or stepdad. There is a common struggle between the child and the stepparent. Most important key person of this situation is not the step-parents or child. Do you know who that person is? Biological parents. That biological person, parents, must be involved, otherwise it's going to be difficult. Let's make an example. Since we always pick on a guy named Charlie, let's continue to pick on a guy named Charlie. He's a Charlie married to Susie, and she has a child from previous marriage, child named Amber. Amber does not like Charlie because he's feeling the role of who? Her daddy. So naturally, she rejects him as the head of the family. One day she starts to throw a temper tantrum and mouth off, and even though Charlie didn't do anything. So at this time, the best thing for the Charlie to do is step back. As a godly Christian, he should step back and let Susie handle it. Susie must step in and discipline the child according to God's way. Now, problem is, if Susie does not handle the situation and she side Amber and against Charlie, do you know what it happens? That gives a signal to Amber. She can this little child can walk all over Charlie anytime she wants. It becomes the wedge within the family to divide that family. It's often that's the situation that the second marriage end up going down the drain to third and fourth. If she doesn't handle this situation, it is a major problem. See, one thing a lot of blended families forget is, listen to me please, this is very important. Your covenant is thicker than the blood between you and your child. Your covenant should be thicker than blood between you and your child. That means priority starts with God, spouse, children, and goes on, guess who's the last? Dog and the cat and yourself. Actually, cat should not be in the priority. However, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter, we are in 1 Peter, so it's easy to for us to go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Above all things, have a fervent love for one another, for love will cover multitude of sin. All right. I made an example. Charlie, who is a stepfather, and Susie is the biological mother of Amber. Amber showing attitude to Charlie, and Charlie is supposed to step back, and what is he supposed to do? When he get upset, pick up the Amber, beat the snot of the kid? No. The child is supposed to take her under his wing. Love covers multitude of sin. He's supposed to be patient. He's supposed to be loving. Does it go against our flesh? Yes. Why don't I just pick up that little bread kid and smack around a couple times? That sounds good. That's appeal to our flesh. However, that's not what God wants. It is important for us to do what God wants more than what we want. Let's summarize this thing. And I'm going to make it one more time very clear to you guys. Biological parents should be primary disciplinarian with a consistency and unity from both. I said this before. I'm going to read it one more time to you. Your covenant with your spouse must be thicker than blood between you and your children from the previous marriage. Please remember that. Your spouse comes before the children. Whether it's your own children or the previous marriage, or what, it doesn't matter. Your spouse comes first before your children. All right. We'll stop there. We'll jump into the next topic. Finance. There's a guy named John. Since John is not here, so I can pick on John. John, living in the countryside, he had this pet dog, and the dog died. So he went to this Catholic priest where he's been attending. He said, Father, would you do a mass for my poor creature? And the father said, I wouldn't, no, it's true. We cannot do the service for an animal in this church. But you know, the Baptist church down the lane, who knows what they're believing. They might do the service for that creature. This John said, okay. And he got up and heading out to the door. And he stopped and showed in front of the door. And he turned around and looked at the father and said, Father, do you think $5,000 will take care of the service for that dog? And the father stood up and said, my child, why didn't you tell me that dog is Catholic? You know, what we hear this line, money talks. Money is a wonderful thing when we use it properly. But however, when we don't use it properly, when the greed, the love of money gets in us, it becomes trouble. I was told that the 50% of our awakened moment is related to managing money. And managing money is a source of anxiety. According to the last 10 years of the study by the Dr. Aaron Beck, money is one of the top 15 reasons for the suicidal tendencies. And it is known fact that it is the top killer of the marriage in America. More than adultery, money is the problem of the failed marriage. Money stresses out the family and marriages a lot of times by misuse of credit card. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. Let's go there. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. Proverbs is right after Psalm chapter 22, verse 7. Ah, there it is. Rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is a servant of the lender. In other words, we owe money to somebody. Guess what? We are the slaves of the one whom we owe to. In the Bible, money is also a major issue. Out of 38 parables Jesus talked about, there is a 16 parable directly related to money. In the four Gospels, Jesus talks about money more than heaven and hell put together. And there are 500 verses regarding the prayer in the New Testament, but there's a 2,000 verses mentioned regarding money in the New Testament. It's that important because God knows how tight we are with the money. There are two reasons why we get into the trouble with the money. Number one, listen to me please, we don't trust God with our finance. We don't trust God with our finance. The majority of born-again Christians in evangelical church do not tithe. Think carefully. I'm not saying that tithing to here. You know where I'm standing on that. If God is telling you to tithe somewhere, do it, please. But you must trust Him with your tithe. Tithe, I said before, is an expression of your faith. You also notice that we do not pass offering plate. The reason why we don't is because we trust God. We trust God to tug your heart to put the money in the agape box if that's what God tells you to do. If God tells you to send it somewhere else, please do so. But the idea is you must trust God with your money and your wallet. If you don't do that, how are you going to trust the rest of your things with God? In God. You can't. See, majority of people, only 10% of the evangelical congregation do the tithing and offering. 90% of people, either they don't give anything or they give put the $10 here, $20 here. So, entire church operation is done by the 10% of people's tithes and offerings. People who don't trust God and with their tithes and offerings cannot really trust God's faithfulness and provision. What does God say? He will meet all our needs according to His riches and glory. And if we don't trust that, we don't trust Him with the rest of things. All right, second situation is we overextend ourselves without careful consideration and prayers. We overextend ourselves without careful consideration and prayers. Majority of American people owe more than what they earn or they can earn. They're trying to keep up with the Joneses, and they're trying to impress someone who really don't care about anything about what we have. So we extend ourselves. I was guilty of that too. So, however, God is giving us a solution. Number one, we must trust God not only in our eternal life, but also in our finance. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Some of you guys know this by heart. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, He will direct your path." And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, Hebrews 11, verse 6, "It is without faith, it is impossible to please God." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." In other words, if you don't trust God with your wallet, you cannot really please Him because you are not trusting Him. Second thing, the solution God is giving us is we must be content with what we are allowed to have from God. We must be content with what we are allowed to have from God. Does it mean that we are not supposed to strive for a better thing? No, that's not what I'm saying. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. I'm really going through fast over these topics. I want you to make a note and go home and study, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. "Now godliness with contentment is what? Great gain." Godliness with contentment is great gain. Let's make a real practical tip. This is my personal tip. It's not, you will not find it in a commentary. Let's say you are already in a mess with credit card. It would take a tremendous effort to just pay down the interest. Isn't that true? What's the average interest nowadays? 23%, 25%, something like that? If you don't have a good credit card, that's the average amount you have to pay. That means you pay nothing but the interest, very little amount of the principal. Nothing wrong with using credit card. Nowadays, you cannot even go to a restaurant and write a personal check because they don't take it. So either you have a green box or you got to have a charge card. Nothing wrong with using credit card as long as you pay each month. Once you start to build the interest, then you are in trouble. You're paying nothing but interest at the beginning. All right, as I said, this is a personal tip. If you are in a financial situation with a credit card, let's say you are supposed to make a $200 payment for one credit card company. This is what I've done, and it worked for me. So if it's going to work for you, that's fine. If you don't think it's going to work for you, don't use it. Instead of paying $200 a month, this is what I've done. I divide it into 4 weeks, or four. Each Monday, I said Monday, I put the $50 or more, like $70. That means by end of the month, I pay $280. The reason why I divided into four, it was easy for me to cop up $70 each week, then $200 one big chunk. Because we lived paycheck to paycheck, still living paycheck to paycheck, but that's the beside the point. So it was easy for me to divide it, and I did it on Monday morning, because Monday morning I have 5 days for that thing to be delivered to the credit company and got posted in my account. If you send it like a Thursday, it goes to the post office Friday and then start to deliver on the Saturday and then stay there until now. It won't be delivered until Monday. So you're losing 1 day. So it's better for you to do it starting Monday and like a clockwork. You must do a clockwork. If you can find, time to time, you will find a great deal of the low interest rate credit card. You can do the balance transfer. Be careful how you do the balance transfer. Sometimes they show, I'm sure you get the junk mail like I do, right? They show, say, there was 0% interest rate or 3.9% interest rate, but there's a little, very tiny, tiny letters. You think it's a balance transfer. It's not balance transfer. A lot of times it's for the purchase for up to 6 months. That doesn't do any good for you. It has to be balance transfer. Also, you flip it over, you look at the real tiny 6-point size letter. You can hardly read it with the magnifying glass. You have to read how much is the balance transfer fee is. Be careful. Sometimes you pay $50, $60 for nothing. So if it's a big chunk of money, and if they approve you, do the balance transfer into that account and start to split your amount. Let's say you're supposed to pay $200, split it and send a check to them every week. It worked for me. It really helped my credit rating. We were in a bad situation many years ago. I did that for a couple of years. All of a sudden, my credit rating went up because I was paying them so much and so much in advance. And the credit company started to love me. And then, guess what they sent me? They sent me the 0% balance transfer. So I transferred the entire thing to them and started doing the same thing. Because I was willing to pay my debt to them, God honored that effort. Whenever the term is about to over, guess what the God did? He sent me another one. And we are out of debt. Now, that works for me. However, there is a catch. If you miss one payment, if you don't meet one payment, that 0% is pretty much a sayonara. It will go to 23%, 23.99%, something ridiculous amount, sky high interest rate. So you have to do it in like a clockwork. And if it's a $200 with this paying extra money, in 3 weeks, you're putting all of that minimum and the rest of them is toward the principal. So it will work for you if you are careful. But if you're not careful, you're going to be nailed. So that's just my tip. However, there's another tip for you. Do not charge on that account. That account is just to pay the debt down. If you add it into that account, you will never get ahead of yourself. All right. Let's go to the next topic. Raising children. There's a Chinese proverb. You guys, some of you heard this. By end of the day, whip the child. You may not know why you're whipping the child, but the child knows why he's being whipped. Did you hear that, Tiny? He's sleeping. Proverbs chapter 13, please. Proverbs chapter 13. I'm glad you're here, Tim. Your dad is going to hear all of this. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He who spared his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. While you're in the Proverbs, let's go to chapter 22, verse 15. Proverbs 22, 15. Foolishness is abound in the heart of a child. Foolishness is abound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. While we add it in chapter 23, verse 13. 23:13. Do not withhold the correction from the child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Did you get that, Daddy? Chapter 29, verse 15. Some of you thinking, oh my goodness, he is such a child abuser. No, this is what the Bible said, what I said, so don't look at me with a dirty look. The rod and the rebuke gives wisdom, but the child left himself brings shame to his mother. You know, time to time I get in the airplane and there's a kid cries all the way from Tucson to L.A. or Tucson to Denver, wherever I go. It's like a mother is oblivious because she hears them all the time. There's a sound barrier she has. I cannot hear you. But the rest of people in the plane is like, do something, mama. The child is like acting like a little maniac. Why he's getting away with that kind of thing? Because mom and dad thinking that if I discipline, might crush the spirit. or to what we just read, it does not crush the spirit. God says discipline the child. I'm not saying to the point to hurt the child. That I do not agree. But enough to correct, enough to remind them, you're not in charge. Mom and dad are. This is very important for us to remember. When we correct them, we have to correct them with the love, but the firmness. If we don't do that, that child becomes a selfish monster. I know one young man who had everything when he was a child. Every time he opened his mouth, he got it. Now he is a still selfish brat. He doesn't care about anyone else. Our young people in America has way too much time in their hands. You may not agree with me. I know what it's like in Korea when they don't have a time. We didn't get into trouble because we didn't have a time to get in trouble. Average study time was 12 hours a day. That's not including my own study time. That's a school study time. And they don't have enough of lifting challenge for them to make themselves better. Give them value of hard work instead of Nintendo, and teach them how to earn honor than the handing them everything on the silver platter. You don't help them if you give everything on the silver platter. Pastor Brian Richardson, a friend of mine, who you guys remember him from teaching from here, he has a son, Timothy, who joined the U.S. Marine Corps months ago. Brian told me this. U.S. Marine did something in 12 weeks, something they couldn't do for 18 years. They shaped him up, and he stayed in shape. I'm not talking about physical things. I'm talking about attitude adjustment. Mom and Dad, please listen to me. If you two have a difference in child discipline, please take care of it. Not in front of a child. And you have to do it not according to Christian psychologists, not according to psychologists or educator of the world, but you have to do it according to this book. If you don't do it, if you don't discipline your child according to this book, you will have a monster. I guarantee you. Karen and I are very fortunate and blessed to have a child who will listen to us, because we taught her when she was little, you do wrong, you get punished. And she realized that I meant it. That was not empty threat. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." So we have to do everything according to God's way without hurting them. Nothing wrong with crushing their ego attitude, but when we physically hurt them, that's a different story. Here's another very, very important thing, Mom and Dad. Do not ever, ever use the same approach that you were used by your mom and dad to your kid. Don't come up with it. You know, when I was a kid, I went to school 5 miles in the snow with a bare feet, both uphills, okay? Uphills both ways. That doesn't work with the kids. You have to customize your discipline, your raising your method to the raising your kid according to each child. And never, never to compare from one child to another child. Each child is different. You heard this before. My brother, who is a brain surgeon in Korea, he used to get the most boring report card. Just dumb, one letter, all A's. I got the colorful thing. Not only different letters, I got the colorful thing, is even red, with F. I thought that stand for fine, but it didn't. All right, last one. Keep your marriage alone. Some of you, this doesn't apply, but for the other people, bear with me. If you're trying to keep your marriage going by yourself, God bless you. May God's strength be with you. It's difficult. Now, listen carefully. If that person chooses to leave you, you are not obligated to stay with that person if that person is not a believer. Okay? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If the non-believer wants to leave, let them. But you are not obligated to stay, nor you are obligated to divorce right away. Am I encouraging you to divorce? Absolutely not. God hates divorce. Continue to pray for their spouse. By your good conduct, then person might come to know Jesus Christ. It's easy for you to put the little track sliver of the Bible verse in his sandwich and let him chew that thing and pull it out. There's a Bible verse. That's not how we're supposed to evangelize, with a good conduct. If you are living in a marriage where your spouse doesn't care, you feel the constant rejection, constant hurt, constant emotional confusion and temptation to bitterness and divorce. Whenever you feel that way, you can run to God. God is your strength. God is your fortress where you can find rest and peace. There's three things I ask you not to do. You may have a wonderful marriage now, but whether this situation turned bad from your marriage, you might have. If you have a bad marriage all of a sudden, or it really doesn't happen all of a sudden, it erodes into that situation. If you have a bad marriage, and if you're giving advice to somebody, there's three things you must not do. Number one, do not talk bad about your spouse to your children or other people. It's a very tempting thing. He's a jerk, so why don't I tell everybody, especially put it on the internet so everybody around the world know about it. Don't do that. Why? Because if your marriage get better again, and you're going to swallow that thing, you have to eat it. It's going to come after you. So do not talk bad about your spouse, especially to your children. Don't let them choose you or the other side. Second thing we should not do is do not seek a counsel of non-believers. Do not seek counsel of non-believers. Let's go to Psalm 1:1. Psalm 1:1. Child discipline, I'm going back to what I said. Child discipline is a rather very touchy subject. So you may disagree with me. That's fine. But you cannot disagree with what the Word of God says. I'm not asking you to do what I said. I'm asking you to do what the Word of God says. Okay? Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who walk not in what? Counsel of the ungodly, and not stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree and planted by the river of water, and that brings forth the fruit in its season, and whose leaves also not withered, and whatever he does shall prosper. So do not seek counsel from the non-believers. Absolutely not. No, no. Third thing do not do is do not seek counsel from opposite sex unless that person is a pastor or the counselor from the church. Do not seek counsel from the opposite sex. Let's say here's a guy named, again, Charlie. He's going through a marital problem with Susie. He should not go to Sharon and start to seek a counsel from Sharon. Why? Woman has this mother instincts, and naturally they will, oh, you poor thing. And he pour his heart out, and then this woman, if Sharon happened to be about the same age as Charlie, naturally they're going to talk and give a counsel. Charlie is getting attention that he's not getting from Susie. Guess what? All of a sudden he is getting not, he's getting something not from his wife, so his heart tend to run toward Sharon. You follow me? And the Sharon, who feels sorry for Charlie, her heart, whether she's married or not married, run toward him. All of a sudden, we have a love triangle. Never seek counsel from your opposite sex unless that person is a pastor or the church counselor who learned to handle this kind of situation. I learned one thing from Pastor Robert Ford. He said, when you counsel female, never go around, hug that person or touch that person. When I counsel you guys, the first thing I would say is, if I tell you what you need to do from the Word of God, will you do it? If you say no, then I stop. Because what I said is not important. I will quote this book. So if you are not going to do what the Bible says, what's the reason for we're spending time? There's no reason to spend the time together. It just causes more problems. A lot of times people come to have a counseling done, because they want to hear what they want to hear. They want the pastor or the counselor to agree with them. I won't do that. I will give you the counsel from the Word of God, and if you're not going to do it, we stop. And I do not believe ongoing counseling. It's just causing problem. Maximum we will do is 5-6 times. Actually, I'm not gifted in counseling. Jack is. So if you want to go to counseling, go see him. He will do the same thing. He will give you counsel from the Word of God. And if you need a godly counsel from the godly woman, go see their ladies. See my wife and see other ladies here and who are trained in counseling. As a matter of fact, we are about to finish the counseling class, aren't we? Halfway there, okay. So you can go see them. But do not seek counsel from the wicked, non-believers. Well, non-believers are wicked. Do not seek counsel from the non-believers, nor seek counsel from the opposite sex, unless they are trained counselors or pastors. You must depend on God's word. Numbers 23:19, please. Numbers 23:19. So far, we are going about 40 minutes. I knew it's going to take a long time. 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? He will not lie to us. He is a faithful God. Luke chapter 1, 37, you don't have to turn, I'll just read to you. For God, nothing is impossible. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. So if you're depending on God to make your marriage better, and that's God's will, as long as you're willing to submit, willing to follow God, and as long as you are with God, you will be okay. It doesn't matter what the outcome of your marriage be. You will be okay. And he will draw near to you as you seek him. All right? Let's stand up and pray. I went through all of this real rapid fire session, and I hope you guys got something.